What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and welcome to the show. It is officially Miami week, Miami hate week, and this is probably my favorite week of the year when it comes to football season. There is, to me, nothing better than this rivalry, nothing better than this week, and just the disdain that we have amongst the fan bases. You know, a lot of times as a Florida State fan, a lot of people have which side of the fence they sit on, whether they don't like Florida more, whether they don't like Miami more. And don't get me wrong, I know none of us really like either of them, to be fair. But to me, it's just something about Miami. They take the cake for me as far as who I dislike the most. Florida fans, they're just like, you know, they're Florida fans. They're like kind of like your dumb friend that you got to deal with. That's annoying whenever they're good. And they don't really say much when they're bad, but like Miami fans, they're never like their team is never good, but they always have something to say. They always have the loudest voice on Twitter, you know, even though there's only like five of them, you know, whatever. But so I'm excited about this podcast. I'm ready to get this episode going. I do apologize for being a day behind here. Normally I like to get this out on Wednesdays. I did go to the Georgia-Florida game last weekend, last Friday and Saturday. I was down in Jacksonville, and I just have a lot of friends and a lot of family that go down there and do the tailgate, and they stay there for a couple days. They do the RV City thing, and I really did. Like, I had a great time. It was a lot of fun down there. You know, I give it to them. Like, I may not care for either team, but, man, they can really tailgate. I mean, it was, you know, when you're just riding around TIA Bank on a golf cart at 2 a.m., you know, three sheets to the wind, yelling at Gator fans. Like, that's a good time in my book. So, you know, I may not be a Georgia fan, but trust me, I chopped at every Gator I saw. And I even ran into two Miami fans while I was down there. And, you know, Miami only has like 100 fans. So that's a pretty good ratio to see in the wild. You know, they are on the endangered species list. But I made sure to throw the U down at both of them. So, you know, I was holding my own. I may have been in a sea of red and black and a sea of orange and blue, but I had garnet and gold on. I had my jersey on. So, you know, I was chopping at every Gator fan, like I said. So it was a good time. I had a lot of fun. It just kind of got me behind this week. I had a few days I needed to recover from that one. So, yeah, we're just going to get right back into it. I'm going to share a couple of quick thoughts on Georgia Tech. I know that game's kind of over and done with. It's already kind of late in the week. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. You know, look, I understand there was some sloppiness in that game. There were some mistakes that are getting frustrating to still be watching Florida State make in week 8 of the season, or, you know, 8 games into the season. These are things that really, they're frustrating, but you still dominated them. Georgia Tech was not able to do anything. You know, Florida State put up over 650 yards of offense, or almost 650 yards of offense, excuse me. Held Georgia Tech to just 264 yards. You outgained them by 378 yards. And that was with 13 penalties and 2 turnovers by Florida State. So, you know, you won by 25. The spread was 24. You covered. And realistically, had you not, you know, done that silly stuff on the goal line, which I'm not against Wildcat on the goal line, but I think you have a mobile enough quarterback. It's just not necessary. You know, that game very easily should have been about 48-7, you know, because they did score in that very last second touchdown play in garbage time anyway. Jordan Travis had a career day, 396 yards, almost 400 yards. Like, I would have left him in to get like one more little dump pass off just to break 400, just because it would have been cool to see. You know, and Benson looks like a dude. And Trayshawn Ward will hopefully be back this week. It was really nice to see C.J. Campbell get back in the game and score a touchdown after we thought he had a season-ending injury. And, you know, Rodney Hill just continues to impress as a freshman. That dude is going to be a stud someday. Fitzgerald made 2 field goals from 34 and 24. So, you know, maybe he's starting to find his mojo back. Maybe he's starting to get back in some kind of rhythm. And now you can change the way the game gets called in the red zone, which has really been, you know, when we look at Florida State as a whole, they've been great at moving the ball. They just have not been good in the red zone, which is a polar opposite of what it was last year. They had a hard time moving the ball, but they were one of the best red zone teams in the country. So it's something that they have to get fixed. But hopefully now having maybe your kicker back to his old self, you know, I don't know if you want to go try and 50-yard game winners yet, but if you can get something, you know, anything with inside 40 yards, if you could feel confident about that, that would change a lot of things for them. you know, and truthfully, I think Florida State probably looked a little sloppy coming off a bye week. You had their first noon game. You know, it's kind of hard to get up for those sometimes. The crowd was, it wasn't that great. You know, still more than a Miami game. But then you also, I'm sure there was some look ahead to Miami this week too. So, you know, I know they knew they had to beat Georgia Tech. I know that they know Miami's down, but it's still a rivalry game that you still really, you know, you look forward to. So, all in all, I just really do think you handled your business like you needed to. And it wasn't perfect, but, you know, this team hasn't really played perfect this year. So that's it. You know, you got a good win, 41-16. You smoked them like you should have. So that'll be it for Georgia Tech. I didn't get to share anything on that, like I said, because I've been so far behind. But I just wanted to put those out there. And so let's get on to Miami, because this is what we're all here to talk about. This is the one we're excited about. This is the one, you know, this, you circle every game, you get excited about every game, but man, nothing gets your blood going like Florida State, Miami. And so this one is big. Like, this is a huge game for Florida State. And I think one of the biggest parts of winning this game, because you might think, okay, well, you know, we're 5-3, we're not really playing for anything. They're 4-4. They're not really playing for anything either. I mean, the Coastal's a train wreck, so they, who knows, they might have an outsider chance or something, who knows. But it's recruiting, and you really need to win this one for recruiting momentum, especially when you got some momentum with Miami staff. Now, I don't know how much that momentum's going to keep going if they keep showing this product on the field. You know, you got some things happening in NIL. They just got a big commitment that was very NIL-driven, from what I understand. And, you know, and then you got Florida, who's also kind of struggling a little bit. First year staffs in both of those areas. Norvell's already got some relationships in Florida. If you can come out and win this game and possibly beat Florida too, you're going to get some real momentum in recruiting. And, you know, to me, when you also look at how bad this Miami team is, this is kind of like Georgia Tech. This is not so much a must win as it is can't lose. Because if you lose a close game in a rivalry game, even to this bad of a Miami team, people are like, well, it's a rival game. But to me, you can't lose to this Miami team. You know, you just can't if I'm Norvell. And that's why if I was Norvell, man, I'd pour it on if I got the chance. Because this game, like, let's be honest. Hypothetically, if Tyler Van Dyke can't go and Florida State is getting healthy at the right time, you know, you got Fabian Lovett back, you got Ja'Kai Douglas back, you got Jared Verse looks healthy, looks like his old self, he looks like he was in the LSU game and games like, you know, the first couple games of the season. You're possibly going to get Trayshawn Ward back this week. And if Florida State can get up for this game and if they can play their A game, they should blow Miami out. And that's the honest truth. I know the spread's only 7.5, but when you look at how Miami's played this year, they could wipe the field with them. If Tyler Van Dyke is back, that's obviously going to be a lot harder to do because, you know, Garcia has been a bit of a turnover machine so far, and that's how they've lost, you know, that's how they lost the Duke game with 8 turnovers, which is terrible. If you get Van Dyke back, they at least should be in the game. But, you know, you have an opportunity here to really get a convincing win. And if I'm Mike Norvell, I'm keeping my foot on the gas till the scoreboard hits zero. You know, and to be fair, if you win this game 24-21, it's not going to be the greatest look, but you still got a rivalry win on the road. So it's not going to be terrible. But if you could go down there and win this game, like, say, 31-10 or something like that, man, that would be so big for just the goodwill of this program, the goodwill of the fan base, recruiting, and in the state. So this is a really big game. I mean, there's, you know, you don't want to say there's a lot on the line, but there is a lot on the line. Because this is, again, like if you start losing bad games like this, now you're talking about staff tenures and things like that. So there is a lot on the line here. And then you also have bowl eligibility on the line with a win. Now you can still get bowl eligible even if you lose. Of course, you still got more games to play. But man, wouldn't it just be sweet to like get to bowl eligibility against your rival with a win down in Doak South? Like that would be really nice. And so, you know, this is a really important game for Florida State. I guess that's what I'm really trying to say. And the rest of the schedule looks beatable. You've now had Syracuse is kind of not looking, you know, they started to play a couple of tough teams, not even tough, but not bad teams like they opened the season with mostly. And they've dropped 2 in a row. You know, so you got Florida. I think they can handle Florida. You know, I sat there and watched Florida play Georgia. Now, I understand Georgia's got a really good defense. Man, that Florida offense is just, ugh, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it's not good. And so, like, I definitely think you can win that game. Louisiana, you know, you should win that game anyway at home. So, you know, this is just, this is the next step in finishing strong and finishing the season the way you want. Getting to 8 or 9 wins, getting to a bowl game, you know, getting a nice, putting together a nice season and getting that momentum rolling into the offseason. So this is a big game. And of course, it's your rival, so it's always a big game. So let's get into some of the details here. Obviously, 7:30 on ABC at nighttime, primetime game. You're welcome, Miami. We finally give you a, you know, we got you a primetime game in your own stadium. You know, they weren't getting it on their own. I promise you that. And so, but that also speaks to how big and important this rivalry is in the college football landscape, that you can take two down teams in Florida State and Miami in their current state, and they still get a primetime game. You know, you're going up against LSU and Alabama, who starts at 7 o'clock. So, I mean, this is really a good Saturday. Like, get out all the TVs in the house, you know, get your game day snacks on and your drinks and all that good stuff, because you're not going to want to leave the couch. This is, you know, you got Georgia, Tennessee at 3:30, which is going to be, I mean, that's going to be an awesome game. You know, my brother's been asking me all week who I think's going to win because he's a Georgia fan, and I'm like, man, I ain't putting a dollar on it because I can't pick it. I'm taking Tennessee. But I don't think, you know, that one's hard. That one's hard to predict. You got Alabama, LSU. You got Florida State, Miami. So this is a good weekend. So, yeah, I mean, you get another primetime game. This is Florida State's 8th night game of the season, which is kind of unreal. And so, but it's good to see. So we're going to get into some of the numbers here. I'm going to kind of switch the style up on how I normally do this a little bit. We're going to do a little more comparison here. So looking at Florida State versus Miami, we're going to go by the numbers to start with. So obviously we know Florida State is 5-3, 3-3 in the ACC. Miami is 4-4, 2-2 in the ACC. The spread on this game is 7.5 points, and against the spread, Florida State is currently 5-3. Miami is 1-7 against the spread. So even when they win, they don't cover very often. But you know what they say, good teams win, great teams cover. As far as your strength of schedule goes, this is really going to be something I'm going to hammer on this podcast. This is, to me, the most outstanding stat of all, is just the lack of competition that Miami has played. And to me, it does overblow some of their stats. For instance, so their strength of schedule is 84th. Florida State's strength of schedule is 29th. So the next stat I have listed here is PFF 70-plus graded players with a minimum of 50 snaps. So Miami has 18. Florida State has 13. They have a few more than we do, but it's not harder to boost your grade when you're not playing in tough teams. So, like I said, some of these stats can be inflated. So just keep that in the back of your mind throughout this episode, that they have the 84th strength of schedule and Florida State has the 29th currently. And, you know, you saw Wake lose and you saw NC State's dropped a couple games. So that definitely, you know, that sways things a little bit as far as the strength of schedule goes. Because I want to say just a week or two ago, Florida State had the 10th hardest schedule. So anyway, moving on, the win probability in this game per ESPN gives Florida State a 60.8% chance to win. Per PFF, Florida State has a 66.8% chance to win. So PFF has Florida State favored a little bit higher than ESPN does. As far as your FEI rankings, and these are just a couple of more advanced stats, these are things that account for tempo, their opponent adjusted, their pace of play adjusted, and things like that. Like, it's kind of complicated, but these are more advanced ranking systems. You know, just because sometimes total offense and things like that with pace of play and hurry up offenses and you know, garbage time and stuff, sometimes it's hard to really decipher just total offensive stats or total defensive stats. So a couple of these more advanced stats. The FEI rankings, which is Femoral, something like that, I hope I'm saying that right. Florida State is currently 28th. Miami is 75th. In S&P Plus rankings, Florida State is 33rd, and Miami is 62nd. Miami gets Florida State at home, and so at home this year they have been 2-3. Obviously, they got blown out by Duke and beat by Middle Tennessee State at home. And Florida State's away record or neutral site, because, you know, to me, I count LSU just as much of an away game as this Miami game, because let's be honest, you know, I think the LSU game was pretty much 50-50. You know, you had a lot of FSU fans in there. And from what I understand, the Florida State-Miami game is sold out. Hard Rock is sold out for this game. But, I mean, it's probably going to be 60-40 Miami. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be an overwhelming majority of Miami fans. Let's just put it like that. Now, I mean, I'm disappointed to hear that the Marching Chiefs are not going to be able to go, not even a pep band. You know, that stinks. I know it was a logistics thing and a cost thing, which kind of stinks that they're not going to be there. You know, honestly, like, I don't even know if Miami has a band, because I've never even heard anything about them. So I don't even know if they have a band. I don't know. Like, they're not popular for anything if they do, but they're not the Marching Chiefs, I can tell you that. So, you know, that stinks that they're not going to be there, but I'm sure there's going to be 35,000 Florida State fans. They'll be making noise, and, you know, there's a lot of Noles fans of South Florida that's going to be excited about this. So, in a way, in neutral site games, Florida State has been 2-1. So it's not like Miami is like, you know, like Clemson. Clemson doesn't lose at home. If you're going to get them, it needs to be on the road 9 times out of 10. So you can pull the upset off, but Miami, it's not exactly a hard place to play, being 2-3. So some other things that I wanted to look at was just because knowing like who they played and how they played, I wanted to look at a couple of other different metrics that I haven't really used in here before. So the average margin of victory versus Power 5 teams, because some of these things were a little hard to compare. Both teams have played an FCS game. Miami's not played at all Power 5 teams. They had Southern Miss in there. They had Middle Tennessee State in there, which is why their strength of schedule is so much weaker, which is why I thought Miami was going to win 8 or 9 games this season. But then it turns out they started losing to those weaker teams on the schedule. But so anyway, because Florida State outside of the FCS school has only played Power 5 teams, I just chose to go with that because that's the easiest to measure. Because, okay, so if you just went FBS teams for this, then they beat Southern Miss 30-7. So that kind of pads their stats. It's not a Power 5 team. And so anyway, when you look at the average margin of victory versus Power 5 teams, Florida State is at 15 points average margin of victory, and Miami is at 4 points. So their wins against Power 5 teams have been a lot more narrow. Their average margin of loss versus Power 5 teams for Miami is 11.6 points. The average margin of loss versus Power 5 teams for Florida State is 6 points. So when they do lose, it's a closer margin as well. So total points, and this one I did do FBS. It was just easier that way. I threw out the FCS games because honestly, like literally Miami scored 70 points against an FBS team and they've scored 149 points in the rest of their games. So I thought that's just not fair to throw that in there to me. Bethune-Cookman is a bad, they're 2-6. They're ranked very low in the FCS. I think they're like number 99. So I threw those games out, which, you know, that throws out some stats for FSU too. So fair is fair. But total points for scored this season versus FBS teams. Miami is at 149, Florida State's at 210. Total points scored against each team versus FBS teams. Miami has allowed 167 points this season, and Florida State has allowed 168 points this season. The margin on that, Florida State is plus 42, Miami is minus 18. So in total points versus FBS teams, they've actually been outscored this season. So, again, like, to me, it's just you look at, you know, Florida State, in my opinion, has not only performed better, but they've done it against better competition. So let's continue on with a few more comparisons here. So your points per game, average points per game for Florida State is 32.1. Miami is 27.1. So you got about a 5-point differential there. Average points per game allowed, Miami is giving up 22.5 points a game. Florida State is giving up 21.9. That's pretty close. Yards per play, Florida State is at 7.01 yards per play. Miami is at 5.6. Yards per play allowed, Florida State is at 4.84. Miami is at 5.73. So Florida State kind of wins those categories again. They score more points, they give up less, they have more yards per play on average, and they've give up less yards per play on average. again, against a tougher schedule. Florida State's total offense is 16th in the country. Miami's is 45th. Total defense in the country, Florida State 22nd, Miami 34th. The offensive FEI rank, the thing I talked about earlier, that's opponent adjusted and all that good stuff. They do those rankings for offenses and defenses as well. So the FEI rank for Florida State's offense is 19th, and for Miami, it's 89th. For defensive FEI rank, Florida State's is 47th, Miami is 54th. And as you can tell, I mean, Miami's defense is obviously their strength. They have a pretty good defensive line. You know, they have some players on that side of the ball. As far as pressures and sacks allowed, so this is how many pressures and how many sacks that each team has given up. Florida State has given up 104 pressures and 10 sacks so far this season. Miami has allowed 101 pressures and 21 sacks this season. So the sack numbers are, you know, double that for Miami. Now, pressures and sacks created. How much pressure and sacks can your defense create? So far this season, Miami has created 155 pressures and 29 sacks. Florida State with 131 pressures and 23 sacks. Again, you're also talking about against better competition. I'm pretty sure if Florida State played, you know, again, that schedule, if they weren't playing Clemson and they were, or NC State or Wake Forest, and they were playing Southern Miss, or they were playing Middle Tennessee State or Duke, well, there you go. As far as turnover margin, Miami is minus -4, and they've had a lot in the last couple games. They've not been great there. Turnover margin for Florida State is minus -2. Again, Florida State lost a turnover battle against Georgia Tech. This is something that they have to get better at. Now, one of the things that I always talk about, again, is providing context to stats and who has done what against who. You can have the greatest stats in the world, but if you rack them all up against cupcakes, it doesn't really mean anything. Because once you run up against a real team, you're going to be in trouble. Which is the same thing I said about Miami when I watched Bethune-Cookman. They gave up almost 400 yards there. You know, when you look at what they did against Southern Miss, they were in a dogfight in the first half. And you could see towards the start of the third quarter that Southern Miss's players were just gassed. And you knew that Miami was going to out-depth them. They had more talent and more depth than a team like Southern Miss, and they pulled off late. And I said after that game that once they run into a team, a Power 5 team that has a real roster with some depth and some talent to it, they're going to be in trouble. And that next game was Texas A&M, and they lost. And that's pretty much, you know, that's what happened. They couldn't pull off late from a weaker team that they were in a dogfight with early on. So let's look at who they faced so far this season. So Miami, their total offenses. Now, like I said, keep in mind, Florida State has a higher-ranked defense and a higher-ranked offense. So when you look at the total offenses that Miami has had to face this season, they have faced the 8th best offense, which was UNC. That's kind of an outlier for their schedule. And then they had the 48th, 90th, 94th, 95th, 112th, 116th, and an FCS team. So you have two top 50 offenses, and the rest of them are bottom 90, you know, 90 down to 116 and an FCS team in the country. For Florida State, the offenses they have faced is 30th, 38th, 49th, 54th, 98th, 117th, 119th, and an FCS school. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that that is not necessarily, you know, murderer's row or anything like that. You're not facing all top 10 offenses. But you do have three in the top 50, one fringe top 50, and then three bad offenses and an FCS team. Whereas Miami, you have one good offense, one right fringe top 50 offense, and then the rest are just terrible. You know, and again, I understand, like, I'm not trying to overblow, like, you know, Florida State has played just in this insane hard schedule or anything like that. But you also have to look at how they performed in the games when they played against those teams. You know, we just talked about the margin of victory. You know, we just talked about the points per game and the points allowed per game. So you have not put up the points per game. You have not had the margin of victory that Florida State has as Miami against weaker offenses. And now we're going to talk about the defense. And, you know, before we move to that, the total offense so far for Florida State, like we said, was 16th. So right now, you're second best to UNC. But one thing you're going to see when we read the defensive stats is that Miami really hasn't played any balanced teams yet. So, and what I mean by that is when you look at the teams with the best offense or the best defense that they've played, they're pretty weak on the other side of the ball. For instance, UNC is the eighth best offense, the best offense they have faced all season. Well, UNC is also 122nd at defense. So they're a very one-dimensional or a one-sided team. Even Duke, they have the 48th best offense, the second best offense Miami has faced so far this season. They also have the 82nd best defense. So they are, you know, kind of one-sided heavy. When you look over at the best defenses they play so far this season, UVA has been their hardest defense that they've had to face, and they're 31st in the country. Well, what is UVA's offense? 94th. So, again, Virginia Tech, the second hardest defense they've had to face so far this season, 47th in the country. Their offense is terrible. It's 116th in the country. So, again, like, they have played some you know, a couple of good offenses and a couple of good defenses, but neither of those teams were good on the other side of the ball, which is something they're going to have to they're going to face against Florida State. So, you know, and Florida State is not necessarily the most dominant team out there. Of course, we know that, but they have the 16th best offense against a pretty tough schedule, and so that's going to be the second best offense that they have had Miami has had to face this season. Well, Florida State currently also has the 22nd best defense. So that's going to be the best defense they've had to face. So you have not had that combination play against Miami yet where they've had to face a good offense and where they've had to face a top defense. In no single game this season have they had to face a team with a top 25 offense and defense. And so that's one thing that I do really look for in this game is how Miami faces a challenge where they're going to be challenged on both sides of the ball. Because like I said, they would have someone they had to score against and they didn't have a good defense, or someone that they had to try and stop their offense, you know, or score on their defense, but they didn't have a good offense, so they could kind of keep them in the game. So that, to me, that's very interesting in this game. And that's one of the biggest things that stood out to me was just looking at the teams that Miami has had to play. And so just to cover to finish out the total defenses, so far this season, Miami has faced the 31st, 47th, 50th, 66th, 82nd, 96th, and 122nd ranked defenses and an FCS team. Florida State so far has faced the 18th, 27th, 35th, 52nd, 61st, 70th, and 107th ranked defenses in the FBS plus the Duquesne game, the one FCS team. So Florida State has faced a tougher defensive slate as well. And so to me, like, Florida State is by far more battle tested coming into this game against just the level of competition they've had to play. And I do want to be fair. Like I said, Miami's not a bad defense. You know, they're top 35 in total defense. And to me, like, they have a good defensive line, which is going to be a bit of a challenge. But Florida State just ran for 200 yards on Clemson's defensive front. You know, the offensive line has had a couple of good games recently, and they haven't been giving up a ton of sacks. They've been run blocking very well. And, you know, to me, NC State's defense is, of course, better than Miami's. LSU's is better than Miami's. And Clemson's is right there, you know, probably better. Their pass defense really drags them down for Clemson. But, you know, they're as good or better of a defense, obviously, than Miami. So it's not like this is some juggernaut that scares Florida State or anything like that, for sure. So, you know, those are just some of the numbers that I looked at for this game. And even when you go a little bit farther into who each team has played, so just looking at the strength, and I got some more notes here. I even took some paper notes. Like, I went old school. So as far as your strength of schedule, like we said, Florida State is 29th, Miami is 84th. The combined opponent's record for Florida State's opponents is 38-26. For Miami, it's 31-33. You already didn't have a really tough slate of opponents, and the ones you do have haven't even really been playing that well. And so, again, like I said, when you weigh in how they performed against that level of competition too, so one thing that I also looked at is, like, we'll just kind of go down as the opponents that Miami and Florida State have played and their strength of schedule a little bit. So Georgia Tech for Florida State has the 16th hardest ranked schedule, and they're 3-5. Florida State beat them by 25. A&M is currently also 3-5, and they had the fifth ranked schedule, strength of schedule. Miami lost by 8. So then BC, and this is more just pointing out, like, so BC is 2-6. They're a bad ACC team. They have the 33rd hardest schedule, And their probably comparable opponent for Miami would be like Virginia Tech. They're also 2-6. They played the 53rd hardest schedule. So Florida State beat Boston College by 30 points. Miami beat Virginia Tech by 6. So it's just when you look at how they performed against a common opponent. You know, I think Miami's best game was losing to UNC by 3. That's honestly their most impressive game of the season. You know, even when you look at UVA, they're 3-5. They played the 46th hardest schedule, and Miami won by 2 points in 4 overtimes. Didn't even score an offensive touchdown in that game. You know, and so when you look at like Georgia Tech again, who just, it was a really close game with UVA recently. It was 16-9, and Florida State beat Georgia Tech by 25. You know, and I hate comparing teams like that because you never know, pieces are missing and out and things like that. You know, but look, Georgia Tech beat Duke 23-20. Florida State beat Georgia Tech by 25 points, and Duke beat Miami by 24. So, you know, not to go too far down the rabbit hole of common opponents, you know, but like I said, I mean, Florida State played a 3-5 team, beat them by 25. You beat a 2-6 team by 30. You beat a 5-3 team by 4. You beat a 6-2 team by 1. You lost to a 6-2 team by 10. You lost to a 6-2 team by 2. An 8-0 team by 6. Miami on the other side, so they lost to a 3-5 team by 8 points. They lost to a 7-1 team by 3 points. They beat a 3-5 team by 2 points in 4 overtimes. They beat a 2-6 team by 6 points. They beat a 5-3, not even group of 5, Southern Miss, who has the 81st hardest schedule. So you're 5-3 against a pretty weak schedule. You beat them by 23. Middle Tennessee State, 4-4, 82nd hardest schedule in the country. They lost by 14 points to Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State has been blown out in like 3 or 4 of their losses this year. And so they're not exactly a good team either. Duke is 5-3, has the 119th hardest schedule in the country. Duke doesn't play anybody. And yet Miami lost by 24 to them. You know, Miami has played one team that's currently ranked in the top 25 is USC or UNC, should I say. Miami has currently only played one team that's currently ranked in the top 25 in the playoff rankings, and that's UNC. So far, Florida State has played 4 teams currently ranked in the top 25 and 2 in the top 10. So, you know, like I said, all this is just basically to prove that Florida State has statistically played better against better competition than Miami has. So to me, like, that makes you lean, you know, a lot heavier towards picking Florida State. Now, obviously, we know there's a lot of things that can go crazy in a rival game. You know, emotions are high. Things happen that are unexplainable. And, you know, one like, when I look back at this game, it's like, okay, so in the last 20 years, 15 of these meetings have been by one score or less, you know, no more than 8 points. That's crazy, you know, because those teams weren't always evenly matched. So sometimes, you know, they always say in a rivalry game, you kind of have to throw stats out the window. And, you know, I don't know that to be the case, but I do know sometimes you can look at all the things you want stats-wise and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, you know, I'm not saying that Florida State's going to go down there and blow them out, but what I am saying is, at least on paper, Florida State is by far the better team. But crazy things happen in a rivalry. So let's take a little bit more in-depth look at Miami, just a few other things real quick. So they're 45th in third down offense. They convert 42.4% of the time. They're 53rd in red zone offense at 86.1% conversion rate. They do have a pretty good kicker. He's missed a few and he's had a couple blocked, but he's a pretty good kicker. So when they're also in TFLs allowed per game, they do allow about 5.5 per game, which is 68th in the country. And, you know, you will see Miami have some areas in statistically that look pretty good, you know, that are like, wow, you know, how is their record as bad as it is when their stats don't really seem all that terrible and they haven't really played anybody? You know, it's almost mind blowing, you know, just seeing some of those things. So as far as the quarterbacks. Obviously, this is going to be a huge deal in the game, who's going to play. Tyler Van Dyke, from what I understand, and this is being recorded on Thursday morning, it looks like he's going to play. I don't know that he's going to be 100% in this game. If he does play, that's obviously a huge boost for Miami. And just looking at his passer profile real quick, he has a 63.8% completion percentage. He's thrown for 1,729 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 4 picks. Big-time throw rate is 4.7%. Not that great. Turnover-worthy play rate is 3.6%. That's a little high. His adjusted completion percentage is 75.6. And here's the thing, too. Miami's had 20 drop passes this season, which is, that's a lot. So, you know, that has definitely hurt. I mean, in the Texas A&M game, that killed him. They couldn't catch a pass. So, Tyler Van Dyke's, his PFF grade is 68.2. His QBR is currently 54.6, which is 76th best in the country. And then so far, he's been pressured 68 times, 11 sacks, and he's fumbled twice. He's not a big runner, obviously. 9 rushes, 47 yards, no touchdowns. He's been pretty inconsistent this year. He's only had 3 games with a PFF grade above 56. And, you know, like we always talk about, 60 is kind of that. You walked on the field, you didn't do anything. That's quality depth player. 70 is kind of your quality starter status. And so he's graded out below 56 in 3 games, or in all but 3 games. And we even saw him get benched against against Middle Tennessee State. Now, to be fair, he's still a good quarterback. So, I mean, he's thrown for, I think, almost 500 yards in one game and almost 400 yards in another. You know, he's not a bad quarterback. He just doesn't look comfortable in this new offense. It doesn't look like the system fits him well. He's not on the same page as his receivers. Now, I will say one thing to watch is Xavier Restrepo is now back. He did play against UVA for them. Obviously, they didn't score an offensive touchdown, so it's not like he had a huge impact, but he didn't play much. I think it was less than 20 snaps, and you also had Jake Garcia throwing the ball in that game. So if he is back, and he is a full go for Florida State, and you know good and well if he's close, he's going to try for this game, and they do get Tyler Van Dyke back, that could be something to watch. So just keep an eye on that. But he is their best receiver on that team, so it will be a boost to get him back at least. And if Tyler Van Dyke can't go, looking at Jake Garcia, he only has 198 snaps of experience. He's currently has a completion percentage of 58.5%, 601 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, and he has a big time throw rate of 3.5%, which is, you know, it's kind of low. Turnover worthy play rate is 8.2. That is really high. His adjusted completion percentage is 67.1, and he has a PFF grade of 42.0 and a QBR of 24.1. It's just been all bad for Garcia so far this year. He has been pressured 32 times, 7 sacks, and 3 rushes for only 14 yards. He's also fumbled the ball 3 times. So like I said, he has had 6 turnovers in the last 2 games. And so that's just his PFF grade versus Duke was 27.1. Like I said, if he plays, it could be a problem. As far as, for Miami, that is. As far as pressured passing goes, Tyler Van Dyke has been much worse against pressured passing. He's only been pressured about 26.3% of the time, so it's not like he's faced a lot of pressure. But when he's kept clean, his completion percentage is 70.7%. Under pressure, that drops to 40.7%. PFF grade kept clean is 78.7, and under pressure, that drops to 42.1%. So Florida State needs to get some pressure on Tyler Van Dyke if he is playing. They need to not let him sit back there and pick you apart. And, you know, they need to get in there and go after him. He's been only been blitzed about 30.5% of the time. And he's actually, you know, he's better when he's not blitzed, obviously. He has more time to sit back there and read. And so, Florida State, I believe they should. You know, Miami's got a pretty decent offensive line, but I think Florida State can get some pressure on him. Realistically, when you look at Jake Garcia, he's kind of been the same story. Kept clean 65.2% of the time. He's been pressured more than TVD. His completion percentage kept clean is 65%. PFF grade of 46.3. Under pressure, his completion percentage drops to 40.9, and his PFF grade is 37.7. So, you know, it's really going to be the key is getting pressure on these quarterbacks, because Miami relies heavily on their pass game, because their run is run game has not been good this year. Even looking at their passing offense, it's 22nd in the country. Their rushing offense is 89th in the country. So again, they have to rely on the ball. They have to throw the ball to beat teams. And so Florida State's secondary will be tested. So, you know, as far as down the field passing goes, Miami doesn't throw it down the field a ton. Their deep passes only account for 11.1% of passing plays. Now, Garcia, he throws it down the field 20% of the time, so he throws it downfield a little bit more. They seem to struggle a little bit on their mid-range passes, which is 10 to 19 yards. Only have a completion percentage of 60.3% for Tyler Van Dyke, and then 50% for Jake Garcia. So they like to do a lot of short passes. 0 to 9 yards accounts for around 40% of their offense, about a little over. With Van Dyke in there, it's 43.4. So they like to throw a lot of short passes and just let their guys try to work in space. So as far as their impact players on offense outside of the quarterback, who you need to watch out for, like we talked about, Xavier Restrepo, he did return last game. He's 5'10", 195, lines up in the slot 96% of the time. He does have a really high catch rate, 85.7. He's caught 12 passes on 14 targets, 183 yards. He's only played in like three games, I think. One touchdown, PFF grade of 86.5, which is, that's good. He is their highest graded offensive player, but like I said, he's only played in three games a season, and he did come back against UVA on a snap count. So, you know, he'll probably be working himself into the lineup a little bit more. Another guy to watch out for is Colby Young. He's a bigger receiver for them. He's kind of like our Johnny Wilson, 6'5", 215 pounds. He lines out wide about 77% of the time. 69.7% catch rate, four touchdowns. He does lead the team in touchdowns. He has twice as many receiving touchdowns as any other receiver on the team. Obviously, being 6'5", you can see why. So when you also look at their tight end, Will Mallory, he's one of their more well-known players. 6'5", 245, has a 66.7% catch rate. And he only has one touchdown so far in the season. His PFF grade is down at 64.3. But he does lead the team in targets and receiving yards, so he is a big part of their offense. They do spread it around now, and they do, like I said, they throw the ball a lot. So they have nine receivers with over 100 yards, but they only have three receivers with more than one touchdown catch. So realistically, Miami has kind of struggled with the same thing that Florida State has had, where they can move the ball at times, but they have a hard time scoring. And so I feel like Florida State is better at moving the ball, and obviously a little better at scoring too. So, you know, advantage there, FSU. But as far as when you go to the backfield, I mean, hands down, Florida State has the advantage in the running game. But so their leading back is going to be Henry Parrish Jr. He's 5'10", 190. He's got 114 attempts on the year for 555 yards. That's 4.9 yards attempt, which isn't bad. You know, it's still under five, but it's not too bad. Four touchdowns, zero fumbles, PFF grade of 81.5. So he's a good back. He has 27 missed tackles for, so he's going to be someone to deal with. The rest of the backs have really kind of been quiet this year. Jalen Knighton really has kind of had a bad season there this year. When you look up front for their offensive line, you do have a lot of experienced guys. So going from left to right, you have a fifth-year guy, a third-year guy, a fourth-year guy, a sixth-year guy, and a fifth-year guy. So they definitely do have some experience up front. That was something we knew that they probably would be okay in the offensive line coming into the season. The left side of their line is a little bit weaker than the right side. PFF grades of 64 and 60.5. The center is down at 57.6. When you look at the right side, PFF grades are 69.8 and 72.2. So maybe you can blitz a little bit more to the left side, take advantage of that. But again, it's a veteran group. They're not great, but they're all decent. I'll just say that. Their run blocking grades, like we said, they've struggled this year in the run game. They pretty much on the left side and the center, they all have run blocking grades under 58 as far as PFF goes. So overall, just looking at the offense, just to wrap it up, it's not been good so far this season. It just doesn't look in sync at times. You know, there's a lot of drop passes. There's some inconsistency at quarterback. They've been ineffective running the ball, and they've only faced three top 50 defenses this season in UVA and Virginia Tech, being the only two FBS defenses so far. And FSU is going to be the highest rated defense they've played and the only top 25 defense that they've played so far this season. So you feel like they should have some success. I mean, like I said, TBD, he's still a good quarterback, and he has had some big games, but he's also been very inconsistent, and he's even been benched. And, you know, when you put in Garcia, it doesn't get much better. He's just a, he's been a turnover machine. He's struggled in this offense. And, you know, like I said, it's just, you feel like in this game, I feel like 28 points is going to be enough to win it. So if Florida State can get to 30 points, I feel good about walking out of Hard Rock with a victory. And, you know, I don't feel like Florida State can't hold Miami like 21 to 24 points. I mean, UNC held them to 24 points, and they have the 122nd ranked defense. You know, you have Virginia Tech held them to 20 points. They're the 47th ranked defense. Your defense is better than theirs. Duke held them to 21st. They're the 82nd ranked defense. Your defense is better than theirs. So, again, like I said, you definitely feel like you should be able to hold them to 24 points or less. If you have Jake Garcia in there as your starting quarterback, I think you can hold them under 20 without a problem. UVA, you know, they're, like we said, they're 31st in defense. Haven't really played a tough schedule. But then when you look at Florida State coming in at 22nd, you would think, you know, UVA held them to only 14 points, no touchdowns. So you like what Florida State's defense should be able to do against them. If Van Dyke does play, though, the secondary is definitely going to need to bring a lunch because he, you know, he's going to throw it. He's going to air it out. Against UNC, he threw it 57 times. So they're going to, like I said, bring your lunch because it's going to be a long day for the secondary if Van Dyke's playing. Not saying they're going to have a lot of success, but you're going to be in pass coverage a lot. And then taking a quick look over at the defense, again, like we said, their total defense is 34th in the country, passing defense is 64th in the country, and rush defense is 24th. So they have a pretty good rushing defense, but again, they haven't really played anybody that's good. They haven't really played anybody good. So, you know, I don't know how well that is, but they're giving up around 113.5 yards a game. And, you know, like I said, Florida State put up 220-plus yards on Clemson's top 10 rushing defense. They ran for 200 yards against Georgia Tech. You know, they're consistently putting up 200 yards a game, and you could possibly be getting Trayshon Ward back. So I like what Florida State should be able to do on the ground. Miami's secondary has been toast at times this season. I mean, look at the Middle Tennessee State game. They got burnt repeatedly. They had, I think it was 5 plays over 50 yards or something crazy like that. So I think Florida State's receivers are going to be able to do, you know, a good bit of things. It was 4 plays over 50 yards. But I think Florida State's receivers are going to be able to do some things in this game up against this secondary. The toughest part is going to be on this defensive line. Now, like I said, you've already faced LSU and you've already faced Clemson, who have better defensive lines than what you're going to face. But, you know, Miami does have a legit defensive line. They do rotate a few guys. They're 5 primary guys that I could tell just based on snap count. They were all graded 74 or above. They have a combined 87 pressures and 21 sacks. And they all have good grades against the run too. So, you know, it's going to be one of the better units that you've faced, but you've faced some tough competition already. Looking at linebacker, Corey Flagg Jr. is the main guy back there. He is a pretty decent player, 65.8 PFF grade, 7 pressures, 3 sacks, leads the team in total tackles. Hasn't been as good against the pass. They seem to rotate some guys through the other spots. No real dominating player there. And then as far as the secondary, like I said, they've been underperforming, but they have some decent pieces across the board. And all the starters do grade out above 68, so close to that 70 level. You know, but again, look at your level of competition. So, you know, Miami has some pieces. And it just, even then, it's kind of like their offense. You know, they do lack a real receiver threat, and they do lack a real talented RB1, but it just seems like even the pieces they have, they're not getting the most out of it. And so we're going to talk about special teams real quick, and then I'm going to let that lead me into something. So, again, just to wrap up their defense, it's not an awful defense, but they've only faced one good offense this season, one that is better than Florida State currently, and 2 inside the top 90. So how good is that defense? You gave up 38 offensive points to Middle Tennessee State and Duke, and you gave up 470 yards to UNC and 504 yards to Middle Tennessee State. So, you know, again, I feel good about what Florida State's offense can do in this game. Looking at special teams now, this is somewhere that I do have a little concern where Miami can hang around for a little bit. So their kick return is currently first in the country. They're averaging 29.73 yards per carry, and they do have a return touchdown on the season. So to me, you know, you got to kick this thing out of the back of the end zone. Honestly, you might even be better off kicking it out of bounds, which we know Fitzgerald's good at. Kick return defense, though, nothing special there. 68th punt return defense is 9th. So they're pretty good at covering punts, which is something we know Florida State's been good at. So that should be an interesting battle there. They're 39th in punt return. Net punting, they're 11th. So, you know, they have a pretty decent special teams unit, surprisingly. So that is one area Miami could, you know, potentially do some things. They are 25 of 25 on extra points and 14 of 17 on field goals, 0 of 1 from 50 plus. So it's not like they have a ton of range. And so, like I said, one thing that this was going to lead me into, when I look at the stats and I look at every, and I just look at the whole picture, and we're just going to kind of wind it all together here. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is a very unpredictable game. And no matter what the stats and the paper tells you, this game has the potential to come down to the wire just based on history and the emotions that are going to be played. Because sometimes, you know, for a team that doesn't have a whole lot to play for, like Miami, this is something that gets them up. Sometimes Florida State, who is a mistake-prone team, gets a little too emotional and makes a silly mistake that allows the team to hang around. Which to me is one of the keys to this game, is Florida State cannot allow Miami to hang around in this game because of mistakes. If they hang around on their own accord, then so be it. But you can't let a lesser team hang around and have a potential chance to upset you because of your own doing, which is what we've seen in a couple of games this season for Florida State. So, like I said, in 15 of the last 20 meetings, this has come down to one score or less. So I don't necessarily expect it to just come out and be some blowout, even though I do feel like it has the potential to. You know, no one needs any extra speeches. No one needs any extra talks. No one needs any motivation. Both teams are going to be ready for this. You know, they like to scrum and coming on off the field, and this is just, it's a heated rivalry. It's fun. That's why this game is so fun. It's big hits. It's playing fast. It's big names. It's, you know, fighting on the field, fighting in the tunnel, fighting in the stands even. Like, it's an insane atmosphere. And like, I know in 2013, I went to Florida State, Miami. That was one of the games I went to that season. And it was, I still talk about, that was one of the craziest atmospheres I've ever been to of all the games I've ever been to. I mean, there were piles of liquor bottles the size of a Volkswagen outside the gate at Doak. It was nuts inside. And it was just so loud in the concourses and every, just going, you felt the energy of this game. And I'm sure it's going to be the same way even down there. And one of the other things to look at real quick is like I talked about before, I think Florida State, so, you know, Florida State we know has been bit by the injury bug. When we look at the 2022 teams and not necessarily the history. So Florida State's been bit by the injury bug this season. But it seems like Florida State is finally starting to get healthy again. You know, you didn't really have any major injuries. You just came off a bye week, you know, against Georgia Tech, that is. And then you had the bye week, and now you got Fabian Lovett working his way back in. Verse looks healthy. Your offensive line is starting to get a couple games with one unit, no one leaving with injuries. You might get Trayshawn Ward back. You got Ja'Kai Douglas back. So, you know, Florida State's starting to get healthy. You are going to see potentially the same team that you saw against LSU. Meanwhile, on the other hand, you have Miami, who's kind of like, well, they don't know if TVD is even going to be able to play. If he is he at 100%? Restrepo's back, but at the same time, how good to go is he? Because he'd only played like 20 snaps in the last game. So, you know, I'm not going to say Miami's as beat up or like missing 20 guys. But to me, there's more kind of health questions at important positions there than Florida State, which they've had in the past. So Florida State's kind of getting healthy at the right time. Now, again, you could argue the right time would have been, you know, the tough three-game stretch that they had against Wake, Clemson, and NC State. But again, if you still can win out, if you can go 5-0 in these last games, then heck yeah, I was getting healthy at the right time, because you still went 9-3 and you're still going to make a pretty decent bowl game and have a chance at a 10-win season. That's still extremely successful for right now where Florida State is. So, yeah, you kind of are getting healthy at the right time. Of course, it would have been nice to have Fabian Lovett versus those other, you know, those three teams too. But so anyway, what I'm getting at with this is, if you look at FSU's pretty healthy. There's no lingering injuries. And if Miami, you know, let's just say they have a few lingering injuries, but TBD might play. Florida State on paper looks like the better team. So then I have to ask myself, what is Miami's edge in this game? Like, how does a team who seems like the worst of the two against worst competition as well, what is their edge to win this game? What is their path to victory? And so when I start looking at edges, okay, is it home field advantage? Well, they're 2-3 at home. They got blown out by Duke. They got blown out by Middle Tennessee State at home. You know, this will by far be the biggest crowd in the Miami season. This is like their Super Bowl, no matter what. The FSU game is the only game they ever packed that stadium, and it's the biggest game of the year for them. And it's huge for us too, but you know, this is kind of Miami's Super Bowl here, especially this season. So even packed, though, like we talked about, I think Florida State's going to be at least 30 to potentially up to 40% of that crowd. So I don't think it's going to be home field advantage. And then, okay, well, you know, especially when you look at, like I said, Florida State going into the Superdome and beating LSU in a 50-50 crowd, that's a lot tougher than going into Hard Rock and beating Miami in probably a 60-40 crowd, in my opinion. And so is coaching, is that their edge? And so when you look at that, it's kind of like, well, we know Norvell has made some his own fair share of questionable decisions. I understand that. But overall, like his game planning and with Adkins and stuff like that, when you look past some of the mistakes and the game plan that they've been able to put together, you know, I feel like there's no advantage over with Miami staff. I know they think that is like one of the greatest staffs ever assembled, and it's proving not to be. But, you know, when you look at the Texas A&M game just alone, like they have had, Miami's coaching staff has had a really fair amount of coaching blunders too. So it's not, I don't really think you're going to get out coached in this game. You don't have home field advantage in this game. You know, realistically, that's any tougher than what Florida State played at NC State or at LSU or anything like that. So, you know, to me, I just don't find an edge that Miami has. To me, I feel like Miami needs to play their best game of the season. They need TBD back. They need Restrepo to play the entire game. They need to play above their heads from what they have played. And then they're going to need Florida State to make those mistakes. They're going to need Florida State to fumble on the one-yard line. They're going to need Florida State to have costly drive-killing penalties and things like that. So, again, when you look at their path to victory kind of being, you have to play uncharacteristic to how you've played, and you need Florida State to play one of their worst games of the season, I just don't give that edge to Miami. And to me, that makes me lean more towards Florida State to go down there and get it done, which is what I expect them to do. Like I said, I do respect the rivalry aspect of it, so I think it'll be a little closer. You know, the spread is obviously only 7.5, so somebody knows something. They expect it to be a little closer too. You know, because like I said, when you look at this game on paper, it probably should be a little bit more than that. You know, but we need to see Florida State play a good, you know, we need to see them play a good game. And, you know, because Miami can't hang around. They can throw the ball. They have some special teams things, and their defense isn't bad. So they'll be up for this one. But, you know, to me, if Florida State shows up to play and, you know, they are ready to go, and I suspect that they will, because, again, this is a big rivalry. You saw how last year went with just the emotions in that game and how back and forth it was and, you know, just a big victory, how that was. I feel like Florida State's going to be ready to play. They just have to control their emotions. And so with that, I'm going to take Florida State in this one. Let's go 31-17, because I feel like it might be close in the, you know, at halftime or whatever. And I hope Florida State can deliver some kill shots early. You know, I wouldn't get too aggressive and let it lead to mistakes. I would just kind of let what comes to you come to you and take advantage of it and just keep pressing the whole game. You know, I expect Norvell to pull some things out of his bag this time in this game, because, you know, he knows that this is huge for recruiting. He knows this is a rivalry game. He knows what this means to the fan base now. He understands that, especially with what he saw in the game last year. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't come down to another 4th-and-14 situation which, you know, Miami fans keep thanking us for. Hey, you're welcome. We're happy that it happened because at this point, I'm glad you don't have Manny anymore either because, yeah, Cristobal ain't looking so hot. But, you know, with that being said, I'm going to take Florida State here, like I said, 31-17. And if Van Dyke doesn't play, oof, I mean, you could look at, I don't know, man, like 38-10, something like that, because I just think it's going to be an uphill battle for them all night. But I think TVD is going to play. I think he's going to, you know, they would probably push it if it wasn't FSU, it'd be a different story, but I think he will play. But even with him, I just think this is the best defense they've had to face. This is the second best offense they've had to face. This is the most well-rounded team that they've had to face in all aspects of the game. And for that reason, I think Florida State gets it done 31-17 in Coral Gables and moves on to be 6-3 and has a road test ahead with Syracuse after that, but who now looks very much more beatable than they did a couple weeks ago. And, you know, hey, they get it done. So I'm excited about this one. Like I said, this is my favorite week of the year. I love Miami. I'm internally right now deciding whether I want to drop an F-bomb on my podcast or not. I'm family-oriented, and I really don't. But, you know, F Miami. I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, I'm not going to do it because there might be kids in the car listening or whatever. But, man, I can't stand Miami. So this game is, ooh, man, I want this one. I want this win so bad because I'm telling you, I'm pulling up receipts as soon as this game is over. If Florida State does manage to go down there and get the win, there's going to be some, I might get banned from Twitter off of this one. I'm not really sure because they have been running their mouth all year, and I'm so ready for this game. Like I said, I look forward to this one each and every year. I just love this rivalry, and, you know, it's just such a fun game to watch. The history that it has and the passion and the pageantry that's involved in this one, you know, at least for Florida State on our side. Because you know what, man? Screw Miami and their dusty old championships that they keep bragging about that they're clinging to for life because that's all they got because they haven't been relevant in 2 decades. You know, you're out here posting graphics with ACC championship trophies like you've ever won one. You know, be kind, rewind, help a Miami fan out. You know, they haven't, you know, it's just you got 5,000 fans at your home game on a good day. You know, man, screw them guys. So, we'll catch you guys on the other side. Be on the lookout for an instant reaction. Hopefully I'm able to do one this Saturday. And so we'll catch you guys on the other side. Hopefully after FSU goes down to Doak South and picks up a big dub for the Noles to move to 6-3. With that being said, we'll wrap it up here. Go Noles. Screw the Canes. Roll the music.